This is You Gotta Try This, the show where friends Nick Curio and Julianne Earls try anything their guest wants them to try.
Anything. We're here. We're there.
We're there.
We're doing it.
We're everywhere.
We're doing it.
It's happening right now. Okay, here we are. Our first guest ever is Madeline Bundy. So she is one of the most talented people I know. Nick, would you agree?
I would 100% agree with that.
She is an actor, a designer, a singer. I don't know if she calls herself a singer. I call her a singer from the moments I know her.
A mover and a shaker.
Mover and a shaker, a visual artist. And you know what? She's also from Alaska, which is, I really hope to dive into that in addition to the thing that we're going to try that she has for us. We got to know her doing a little show called Puffs. She starred as Harry, Susie Bones, and others, as well as doing the costumes, props, and scenic design, because why the hell not? She is also Kapowie Gogo, playwright Matt Cox's past and yet next epic geek theater endeavor. And these are only just a few of her credits. You know what I mean, Nick?
Yes. Yeah, Maddie Bundy. I'm ready to hear what she's got to tell us.
And why don't you tell the folks what she wants us to try? Which I already misunderstood, which is a great start.
She wants us to watch 10 episodes of Star Trek. But the thing is, they're not her favorite episodes. They're episodes that she thinks that we'll like. They're also from different series because there's different Star Trek episodes. I know a little bit more than you, but I don't know much. I've never seen an episode of Star Trek. I've only seen the new movies, the ones like Chris Pine that J.J. Abrams directed. Well, he didn't direct the last one, but like I've only seen those movies. I think I've seen some of the older movies, like one or two of them a long, 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 long time ago, I think. And then I think I've seen clips of episodes of some of them.
Okay, like this is what I know. William Shatner was on it at some point. The language is Klingon.
That's one of the languages.
Oh, shit. We got more than one language. Of course we got more than one language.
Did you think that they all just spoke in one language that nobody understands?
No.
Did you think the episodes were all just like, we don't know. No, nobody can understand this made up language, but it's so riveting.
And yet a whole, what's the word?
Culture.
What's the Z word? Zeitgeist. Clued in.
But
did you know that Klingon is on like Duolingo or something? Like you can learn Klingon.
You can learn Klingon. It's taught in universities.
And that there's Spock and like he doesn't feel emotions or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is a person, yes.
And
you're right.
I think that is it. I think that's all I know.
Yeah, that's... I mean, you covered because the first ever series, which I believe was the very first one, was the one with William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy as Spock. And like, those are the original TV shows. Then they made movies based off that. Then they had like TNG, The Next Generation. And that's, I believe, the Patrick Stewart ones.
Uh-huh.
That's the one with like Patrick Stewart and all those like awesome actors. Yeah. And Whoopi Goldberg was in that. And then there's like a bunch of other ones with different captains. I know Scott Bakula is a captain of one of them. There's a new one now called Discovery, and they brought back Picard. He's got his own series. There's a bunch of them.
So you're naming people. I don't know.
Picard. Jean-Luc Picard is Patrick Stewart in the show.
Got it.
You know who Patrick Stewart is, right?
He's best friends with that other old guy.
Ian McKellen?
But yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I like how that's how you know him.
No, I mean, I know that.
Patrick Stewart. Oh,
I know that.
The man who's best friends with Ian McKellen. Yes.
The guy that was the best part of Cats.
Ian McKellen's the best
really,
part of
which
Cats.
Which is not saying much.
That movie was rough.
Yeah. So to also give context to this friendship, if you don't know me and Nick, we went to go see Cats with some friends. It was one of those ironic watches that you go into thinking, this is going to be stupid and fun. I think both of our brains melted and we basically took shifts in terms of naps. Like I fell asleep, Nick was awake. And then I woke up being like, what did I miss? And he was like, not much. And then he fell asleep. And then I was still watching, wondering if I lost just an hour and a half of my life. And you know what? We did.
Yeah, we did. We will never get that back. What if somebody is like, you have to watch Cats again? Well, we already tried it, though. It's not trying.
Oh, I see. In the context of this podcast that we're currently making, I thought you were just like in regular life. Like if someone was like, you want to watch Cats again? I'd be like, no.
No, I don't want to do that. We already tried it. Are you excited to see these Star Trek episodes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So we both mutually know this guy named Matt Cox, who wrote Puffs. And something that our friendship was very much built on was that he found out that I'd never seen Lord of the Rings. So we watched all the Lord of the Rings together and he like vicariously lived through me and my reactions because it was the first time, you know, that I was seeing it. So we did Lord of the Rings, we did Star Wars. And so I'm here to say that I know that there's a difference between Star Trek and Star Wars. So, you know, I'm that above in terms of the universes, I guess you could say. And then we also did Game of Thrones. So all to say, like, I'm game to watch anything. And I'm sure I'll, you know what, knowing me, like maybe I'll shed a tear or two. Definitely will laugh a lot.
Get excited.
It'll be a grand old time. I'm excited. Yeah. And also, you know, I knew this fact about Maddie that she was really into Star Trek. But, you know, we came into this thinking like, oh, this is going to be her top 10 favorite episodes. And she's like, no, I tailored these episodes for you too, which made it all the more like, oh, I wonder. And then we're going to go like, why did she pick these episodes for us?
Yeah,
like,
I'm curious.
I'm curious about
that. Yeah, because I know about a lot of fan culture. Like I'm a huge Star Wars fan. A lot of those things like that you talked about, I'd already seen on my own. Star Trek was just one of those things that just kind of escaped my grasp. I don't know. I know I have like family members.
Escaped your grasp.
Yeah, I just didn't hold on to it. I always just was like, I'm all about Star Wars. Because there's some fans, and I was like that for a little while, where I was like, I'm Star Wars or nothing. Like, Star Trek is just cool. But like, that's silly. I think you can like both. And I'm excited to like dive into it because I hear nothing but great things about it. So I want to.
Like, what do you think people, like, why do people gravitate to it so much, do you think, from your knowledge of it?
So from my knowledge of it, too, Gene Roddenberry, who created it, who's from my hometown, I believe. I think he's from El Paso, Texas.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He one of the biggest things was, like, I want to create a vision of the future that it is, like, very, it's, like, the best selves. Like, that's why, like, the cast of the original thing was a diverse cast, you know? There was BIPOCs working there. There were like women like running stuff. There was like there's a diverse cast. And also like it runs on a system of like they don't use money. They don't use currency. They have like a machine that can like give them what they want. So they don't have to worry about that. So he was like creating this world of like kind of like a utopia of like, and he was hoping like that's what the future would be. And that's where we get to. So I think people really like these ideas. And then I know that like the newer ones like TNG, they just explore, from what I understand, just so many topics and issues that are common from then to today. And like, there's a lot of wide range of, and like people just really dig the characters, and there's a lot of like, just various characters that, because it's a TV show, you can really dive down and really get to know, and like all the disputes and political affiliations and all the stuff. So I think it's just like a world that's been created over and over again and extended that I think is so fascinating and brings people in.
Ooh, we love that story.
Yeah.
So, yes. And clearly many people too, because it's been on for, it's been a part of.
It's not going anywhere.
Culture for a long time. Cool. All right. Well, I guess this will be our first foray into, you gotta try this. This is what we're going to try. We're going to watch 10 tailored Star Trek episodes, and we'll talk with Maddie about them after we do that.
I'm excited.
Cool. Till then. All right. So, Nick, here we are. We've watched 10 episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah, not just like Star Trek, the original, not just The Next Generation, not just Voyager, not just Deep Space Nine. We watched episodes from all of those.
Yes. I've never ingested so much Star Trek in my whole entire life.
Neither.
And I am so excited to talk to Madeline Bundy about Star Trek.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
people in podcast line can't see, but you have amazing overalls.
I'm wearing my space overalls. This is a t-shirt my brother sent me. It's from a Voyager podcast that two of the actors started. And then I've got Star Trek earrings.
Aww. So to give a little context, Nick and I were in a little show called Puffs with Miss Madeline Bundy. And I knew that she liked Star Trek. And we're like, okay, our first guest is going to be Maddie. Like, there's so many things I want to pick her brain about. Maybe we'll talk about Alaska. Talk about all kinds of things. And then she's like, no, we're going to do Star Trek. And I thought that she was just going to pick like the top 10 Star Trek episodes. But no, she tailored this list of 10 episodes for us.
Yeah. So I spent an embarrassing amount of time picking out these episodes. I spent a whole week like trying to imagine like what it would be like to watch these episodes for the first time knowing nothing. So I first started with like some of like the best episodes or like what's generally considered like the best episodes ever made. And I was just like, I don't think that you can, it's like they're good out of context, but I don't think that you can appreciate them the way they're supposed to be appreciated unless like you really know who these characters are and you've, you know, you kind of know what they're all about and you've been on little journeys with them, because that's why those episodes hit hard. So I picked like episodes I thought you guys would really like, but also I feel like are good like beginner episodes.
I appreciate it. I felt like, honestly, and like while I was watching them, I was like, oh, I totally see why Maddie picked this one for us. And there was there's one that I literally before, because I looked at the list real quick and I was like, I've always heard there's this one episode about this. And I was like, oh, I've always been curious about that episode. Maybe I'll just go back and watch it. And then I was like, oh, shit, it's on the list. I was like, great, because I've heard about this episode. I've wanted to see it. It's the Sherlock Holmes one. And it's great too, because I'm a huge, well, in general, Star Trek is, mentioned a lot in a lot of things that I watch, I love. And I'm a huge Futurama fan.
Yeah.
And Futurama.
And like Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Rick and Morty. And I know Futurama, like big time, they pointed it out. So a lot of episodes and things I was like, that's, and I knew it, I kind of got an idea and I always knew that, but it was so good to see like, yeah, I know what they're, oh yes, I get that now. I know what that is. And a funny thing too is when we were like 10 episodes, I have never seen a Star Trek episode. I thought Star Trek episodes were like 30 minute episodes.
No.
So when I started going, I was like, oh no, these are hour long like dramas. Okay. Yeah. We have 10 hours.
Some of them should not be an hour. Some of them should be like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And also, and not to mention like the number of music swells that would happen before the commercial.
The music is one. That's why I told you. So yeah. I told you guys weren't allowed to skip intro, because I think the music's one of the best parts.
Oh, I never skip the intro for any of them.
I know for Next Gen, after they record an episode, the music was live recorded. Like the way you'd do for like a big like movie, you know, with a big swelling orchestra.
Yeah, I know for sure. I mean, epic, like horns and things. Yeah, I was like, why did Maddie make us watch the intros? And I was like, oh, like they all kind of have their own feel. Epic proportions.
But the music's good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good. Oh, for sure.
Our first one on the docket was from the original Star Trek. Old school. This was season 1, episode 19, Arena. This is one of the like staple, like known ones. Like
in terms of like original Star Trek iconography, when you think of like what is the original Star Trek series, I feel like a lot of people think it's Kirk fighting a giant lizard.
Oh yeah, 100%.
One of the reasons why I picked this episode is like I really wanted to hear Julie talk about this grown man. Did you know about this?
Guys, I knew nothing.
Okay.
I knew nothing at all. And so the thing that I really walked away from in terms of the first episode that really kind of warmed my heart is that it feels like filmed theater. Like the sets are so basic. The costumes are like, you know, actually, you know, in a positive way, reminded me of you, Maddie, in that like, you know, it was like, this is a sweater. Like all the people on the crew wear this. Crew neck sweater.
When it came to like designing Puffs, part of the inspiration I thought of for Puffs was like, it's like, oh, it should be like original Star Trek. You know, their budget is tight and they're using things that they have on the Paramount lot that's available to them.
I wrote that down too. I just was like, I love their uniforms. They're just different colored sweaters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just like,
and that insane, like that trim, you can still buy that trim. It's probably like 50 cents a yard. It's like, yeah, it's stupid cheap.
Yeah, and like the set is really basic and it looks so clearly like a set. And so in that way, warm my heart. When did the series start?
The original series came out in 1966.
I mean, amazing. Okay, so it's the 60s and like everyone just bought in, you know, they suspended their disbelief hard. It's like every freaking visual effect and all these things. You had to, and I mean, let's talk about that lizard. Like you were suspect. And then, I mean, if anything, I was like both like, wow, this is just filmed theater. And then I also was like, oh, this is Power Rangers. Like this is what Power Rangers is definitely based off of.
Yeah.
That fight scene cracked me up because they're going so slow. They were just like, it's like watching two old men just like try to grapple. And I was like, I get that they probably had to because like that guy in the suit, you can tell was like, I can't see or do anything.
You're like, also introduced to like very famous like classic Kirk punches. Yeah, he uses his fist like that. Oh, it's just very funny.
And does that also then, does that go into like The Spy Who Shagged Me and stuff? Like those kind of like kitschy, like judo chop kind of moves?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, made up fighting where he's like, I've given him blows that could like kill a man.
Oh, and yeah. Yeah. Like to describe how powerful it is, like if I would have hit a regular man, you would have died.
Kirk as a character thinks he can deliver this very light punch and it will kill a person.
I've always liked William Shatner. I think I've seen him in a bunch of stuff and I've like seen clips of him in Star Trek, but I do gotta say like his captain is very enjoyable.
It's so funny
and it's just so great.
He emphasizes things that don't make any sense. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
But yet I wasn't like, whoa, like the acting's horrible.
He's a really good actor and he became iconic, his icon as a captain because of his weird mannerisms and choices. But you know, he's very good.
Totally.
That weird stuff that he does that makes him stand out, that makes him interesting, that I appreciate. And the way he delivers and how swarm he is. But you are charmed by him. Like I was like, yeah, you're a super cool badass dude. And yeah, I just love the way he addressed to people because he's super nice. But he also is kind of like, they'll be like, they'll ask him a question. And he's like, it's none of your concern. And you're just like, fuck. Okay, you're right, though. You're the captain. Gotta listen.
Yeah, definitely a ladies' man, I'm sure.
I don't know if you noticed also his species, you know, the Gorn species.
Thank you. I'm going to write that note down.
I didn't notice it the first couple times I watched the episode, but the suit is also falling apart. Like, clearly, through practice, like, there's, like, slash, you can see, like, the foam has been, like, cut up, and it's just very funny.
See, I kind of love that, because, like, you know, we used to joke about Puffs that we were adults running around in capes, like, these were, like, grown men, like, playing around with a lizard and stuff, and the costumes falling apart. I think that's great. Also, another note I wrote was, wow, it was good to be a middle-aged white guy. you look at series now, like the CW or all these things, like everyone's like classically handsome and like in their 20s or 30s. Like, I'm like, yo, this guy's got wrinkles and he's like a main character and people love him. I just thought that was like kind of fun in a way that, again, like the culture and the time, like it just was about playing into this story. It wasn't about,
People were like barrel chested, like nobody's like super fat with their abs showing. Like they're all more like those guys who like suck in their gut and put up their chest. So they're just like this weird body that you're like, if you let that go, it's because your tummy comes out, but you can't.
I love that.
William Shatner was very body conscious and sensitive. So I do feel bad. I feel bad when I read stuff like that from him.
About it? Yeah, probably. I'm sure he was like. Well, those sweaters were tight, too. So it's like...
Yeah.
Season 3 costumes are... They change the fit a little bit. They give them a little more breathability and space. So
the costumes will definitely get a glow up, as the kids say, as we go through the different episodes. And then also the makeup. Like, I was like, whoa, look at Spock.
When I think about, like, why do I like Star Trek? I love the makeup and the prosthetics. From cheap stuff to, like, expensive stuff later on when they get into more complicated prosthetics. I think it's all really cool.
Well, I was going to bring this up later, but since you already mentioned it. Okay, so I have a question for both of you. Okay. So on the show, would you want to be an actor that had prosthetics? Like, would you want to be a character that had it or not? Because if you are, that means that you got your call time is like 2 hours earlier time to get all those prosthetics.
Yeah,
on.
If you want to find interviews, you know, from Michael Dorn, who plays Worf, which we'll talk about later because they gave you a Worf episode. I think he was in the chair for like at least 2 hours to put on the Klingon makeup. And then that's also 2 hours at the end of the day.
Right, right. Like, in a way, to be a human on the show, you got to, like, you know, sleep in a little bit.
I think Spock had it the best. Leonard Nimoy probably had the best because he got to have, like, a little bit of different thing, but, you know, they didn't have to do much. It's like a wig, the ears, and, like, the eyebrows.
Yeah.
Was it a wig?
Spock? No, I just looked this up, actually, because I just re-binged the original series during this quarantine because there's been lots of time to watch.
Wow. Wow.
Leonard Nimoy's hair is real. He had that haircut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
was he the trendsetter for the bowl cut?
I think I've read this, but I think they were trying to do, like, a Beatles thing.
With the
Cuban boots and, like, the bowl cuts.
Oh my God.
That makes sense.
That's cool.
There's some bad haircuts in those first couple seasons that they fix later.
Totally.
But yeah, Leonard Nimoy rocked that haircut for a long time.
We also got to talk about George Takei.
Yeah.
Like, and this is a theme, obviously. And we talked about that, like, before we even watched it. Like, Nick, you were saying, like, the show has always been applauded for its diversity and things. And as we get into it, I love some of the other episodes you picked in regards to that. But, you know, this was the first episode out of the gate. And I was thinking, like, imagine being George Takei and you're, like, what, maybe the one main Asian actor of the time? Like, what must that be like?
I mean, if you want to go down a George Takei rabbit hole, he's just an incredibly charming, funny, talented man. And he has, you know, a lot of wonderful things to say about this property and, like, what its goals were in terms of representing diversity. If you go back and you binge the original series, like, Nichelle Nichols and George Takei don't get enough to do. They get a little more in the movies, but especially watching now, you're like, oh, these guys are so good and they're not getting enough to do. But what they do with what they're given is, like, a lot of their moments are more memorable.
Totally.
What some of the other actors are doing with, you know, and they're given more stuff.
Not to jump ahead a little bit, but, like, the last one you gave us, which is Mirror Mirror, which is from, like, the original two. I liked watching George Takei. It's George Takei and Nichelle Nichols in that one because they got to do a lot more in that one.
Like, one reason why I gave you that one is, like, they get to shine. They get to do a lot of stuff in that. Also, comedy nerds love George Takei. They love, like, talking about his presence on the ship and as an actor, and, like, they love doing his voice. So he has a lot of, like, comedy fans.
Huh. See, I'm learning so much. Should we move on?
Yeah. This is Next Gen, Next Generation, season 2, episode 16, Q Who. So Next Gen is another big popular one.
There's only, like, a couple episodes that, like, never left my list in terms of, like, what to show you guys. I didn't want it to be all Next Gen episodes, and especially, like, with Next Gen, seasons 1 and 2 are really rough. Like, the show doesn't really find its stride until, like, season 3, but there's just some, like, essential episodes in season 2 that I was like, oh no, if you don't know anything about Star Trek, like, I gotta.
Well, let's introduce the Borg. And I know the Borg's a big deal. Yeah. I know the Borg's a big deal.
Q is a reoccurring character in Next Gen, so I was like, let's bring him up. It's a great Whoopi Goldberg episode.
I was so excited. I wanted a Whoopi episode.
Well, like, for me personally, like, so I grew up watching Star Trek. I guess a lot of people say this of, like, oh, I like Star Trek because it was something I could watch with, like, my parents or my grandparents or. So I used to watch with my brothers, like, Elliot and Oliver, but, like, Next Gen was definitely, like, my brother Oliver's, like, I was more of, like, a DS9 person when I was little. But
yeah, me too. Totally.
But, like, Next Gen is definitely, like, when I moved into an apartment after college and I got my Roku and I was like, oh my God, I have, like, my own TV for the first time. And I put on Star Trek, like, Next Gen was definitely, like, the show that I started binging. It was like the first show I binged as an adult in New York City, and I didn't realize how great they all are at acting. And
yeah, I mean,
when you're not thinking about that stuff, and then as an adult I'm like, oh my gosh, like, even in these bad episodes, like, these guys are really good.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that's
they're also all, like, I don't know if you deep dive this on the internet a little bit, they're also really good friends. Like, of all the Star Trek cast, like, this is the cast that is that most reminds me of, like, the Puffs. Like, they all hang out. They all love each other. And I feel like that shows, even through, like, the really bad episodes, that they all really like each other. They're all having a lot of fun.
Totally. And
as an adult, this is the one I gravitate towards the most, I think.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah.
It's super fun. Everybody is really, really good on it. And everybody, you can see, like, they all kind of do everything with a smirk, like with a twinkle in their eye.
Yeah. I think they know what it, they know when it's goofy and they know when it's serious, and they know how to, play both sides of that in terms of storytelling.
And for sure, I think that was the main thing I took away from this first introduction to Next Generation is, like, in my notes, I just wrote in all caps, these actors are classically trained, okay? Yeah. Classically trained.
They're all good. They're all really good.
And also, I probably particularly for this episode, like, this was a Shakespearean level episode of this dynamic between Q and Jean-Luc.
Yeah. Some of their dialogue, definitely. They're playing it that way, absolutely.
I sir, do you mock me? You know, pulled from Billy Shakes, also as the kids say. I'm a kid.
What can I Billy say? Shakes? Okay. Wow. Pull that out.
And I was like, and then I also was thinking, did Maddie pick this episode also? Because we got the Whoopsters in this episode.
I love Whoopi Goldberg as Guinan.
I was so happy. I did too. I was like, I really hope we get one that really shows Whoopi. And I was like, literally, I was like, second episode, great. I wrote Whoopi in exclamation mark, because I was like, this is what I wanted.
She also, I think this is, if you're interested in, there's a couple of like Trekkies documentaries if you want to deep dive later, but I think Whoopi Goldberg is in the first one, and she talks about watching Nichelle Nichols on TV when she was little, and like that's what made her want to be an actor. So the fact that she also got to be in Star Trek is really meaningful for her, and it's very poetic and beautiful.
And I mean, I think even just from the two, she's in another episode that you gave us. If we're saying that Nichelle Nichols, you know, did so much with the little, you know, and I'm saying in quotation marks, little that she had in terms of the first series, like they really gave some meaty stuff to Whoopi in terms of her character served, and including this episode talking about her people and, you know, that their whole, village or I don't know, planet was ravaged by.
She's an alien. She's not a.
I gathered that. That human that was there, even though in it they were like, you're in, what would they call him? Because Q, they were like, you're like Q. And Q was even like, oh, I know you.
So John Delancey, who plays Q, is from the Q Continuum.
Yeah.
So they're like these godlike, mystical beings out in space. They have godlike powers. They can kind of do anything. And some of them are mischievous. And then Guinan's from her species are the Alarians. That's like her race. What I love about Guinan and like her species is like, there's only so much that we learn about them, but they're basically like a long-lived species. And they're called listeners. So they kind of, I don't know, they dedicate their lives to like learning about the universe and different species. As far as like her powers are concerned, which is what kind of Q is implying, that you're like, oh, he's kind of afraid of her. We don't know a lot about that stuff, which I like. I like that they sort of leave that up to the imagination a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I always loved the, you know, mischievous characters and everything like that. So I thought he was really cool. Yeah.
John Delancey pops up. He's in some DS9 episodes and some Voyager episodes. He pops up. He definitely has like kind of a man crush on Picard. And keeps bumping.
Yeah, he totally. You could tell he's just like wants. He wants like I want to be on your ship. Be part of your crew. And Picard's like, no, get out of here. Like, leave me alone. And then the Borg come in, and that was cool because I was like, oh, this is where the Borg were introduced.
Yeah.
To. And I know the Borg had been a big thing later on, and there was like a whole movie about them, and there was this whole big thing about that. And I love the one scene that cracked me up is when the Borg shows up on the ship, and he's just like fucking with their stuff, and they're all like, hey, stop. And he's just like, looks at them and is like, and they're like, and then Q's like, you're not bothered by him. He doesn't care who you are.
They're scary. I don't really think anything in Star Trek is scary as an adult, but they're one of the more scary villains because they don't care. About
you know what I found scary? Is his name Odo?
Who?
He had like major Botox or something.
The guy who's all smooth face.
Yeah. Everyone else was like
played by Renee. I think his last name is pronounced
something French.
He's on a few episodes of It's Always Sunny.
Sadly passed away a couple years ago.
I didn't know that.
He also plays, this is thanks to prosthetics, he plays several characters. You can do this on Star Trek is like they'll bring back actors that they like and then just put them in different prosthetics. Or sometimes not. Sometimes they don't even put you in different prosthetics. They're like, we like you. You'll come back as a different character, which is a nice thing that they do.
Yeah. And I mean, which brings me to Call Mimi, where I'm you know, it must have been good to be an actor during this time and part of the Star Trek family, because basically to see him in, do you say the DS9? Is that what?
DS9.
Okay.
Well, and Worf is there too. They bring Worf over as well. Yeah.
It's like Cole Meany got a promotion. Like, these actors, I'm like, you know, you're like, you get a gig and you don't know if you're going to work again. You're like, we liked you.
So the shows overlap. They brought Chief O'Brien and his wife Keiko over to DS9, and then when TNG ended, partially to boost the DS9 ratings, they brought over Michael Dorn as Worf. I love that he's on DS9 because we can talk about this with the next episode too, but he's one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite character, and they give him a lot more to do on DS9 and like deep dive into.
Would it be rude to say that he has a 5 head or a 6 head?
Wait, what is that?
A 6 head? Like a 6 pack on his head?
Did you guys never hear that like middle school insult? Instead of a 4 head, they have a 5 head or a 6 head.
I've never heard this.
I wasn't cruel when I went to school. I was a nice person.
I said it. I just think it's funny because particularly for his prosthetics, you're like, okay, like the forehead is strong.
I love the episode.
All the characters out there are cursing my name right now. I thought that would be relevant.
I had a Kihu factoid. This was mostly targeted towards Nick. But the character.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying you want to appreciate. Are you a fan of Total Recall, Julie?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Johnny, yeah. My boyfriend is Johnny. This is the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He showed me a clip from it and like how kind of campy and
super campy, but it's great.
It's amazing though. It's incredible. Paul Verhoeven directed it. It's incredible.
The character at the beginning of Q Who that LeVar Burton is talking to, Sonia Gomez.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. What I would give to have been Sonia.
Oh wait, that's her from Total Recall, isn't
she's
it?
In Total Recall. She's very famous for playing the three-breasted mutant.
That's right. I was like, I kept being like, why does she look so familiar?
That's her claim to fame.
I kept being like, she looks so familiar, and I have no idea why. And I was like, maybe she just has that look.
She spills hot cocoa over.
Yes, I noted that because the way that she tried to fix it was just like rub her hands over Patrick Stewart. Yeah. Like, didn't get a napkin. She just was like,
Okay, so there's a replicator in engineering. All right, I got it. So the computer doesn't know to put a lid on liquid. Yeah.
Like put some it, computer.
I understand if you're in your room, like, oh, it's gonna put the liquid in a mug, but it should know it's in engineering. It should put a lid on that.
Oh, because remember, she's like, I shouldn't have this by engineering, and it was like, yeah, you think space at this time would be like, don't worry, we got a lid on it. We've developed a special cup that it won't spill. Like, there's cups now that you are hard to spill with, you know, like sippy cups.
And they're strawless. We got strawless lids now, so one could say that we're more advanced than Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Looks they didn't predict the strawless life.
Another reason why I gave it to you guys, I love the H.R. Giger influence.
Oh,
Borg. It looks like alien, which is clearly what
H.R. Giger.
He is the artist who designed the alien motif.
And you know, like the movie Alien and Aliens and all that, like the marks, like that style is his whole like thing. Yeah.
Cool. So it's
not just aliens in general, like the franchise. I know Julie looked like looked at us like he created Alien.
Oh my god. You should watch the H.R. Giger documentary. He and his wife are crazy pants.
We'll pawn that on our next guest. We'll be like, I don't really care what you want us to try. We're actually going to watch this alien documentary.
Should we move to the next one?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is season 7?
We're jumping
in. Yeah, episode 11. This is Parallels. This is a really fun one.
This is the one episode that never left my list. It was like the first one I thought of. Was like, you got to watch Parallels because I love Worf. This is maybe my favorite Worf episode. I just wanted to know what you thought of him.
It's a great episode. Real quick, I just want to say, and I love him, but this started a giggle fit that went on through a bunch of episodes, and it's really childish and stupid, but every time they said Cardassians, I thought of how it could be like the Cardassians are attacking again. And I was like, Chloe's up to something, isn't she?
The Honest trailer makes fun of that too.
Okay. I was like, somebody has to have made fun of this. Like, and it's great because when they did it, the Kardashians were not a big focal point, so nobody would have known.
We're now overlapping with DS9, and the Kardashians kind of the main villain on DS9, so they're starting to bring some of that stuff into TNG so that they're all, like, in conversation with each other.
God.
Which is cool that this was happening in the 90s on television. I did not appreciate that at the time. I love this episode. I rewatch it a lot. I love Worf. Worf might be my favorite fictional character of all time.
Wow. I love that's saying something.
I love Michael Dorn. No one does frustrated and irritated and uncomfortable the way this
they guy were just did. I literally wrote down, they're just fucking with his stuff. Like when they have the surprise party and then this guy is obviously like, I get it. Because like, I'm a guy, if they would have come into my room and just been like, I'm going to take this painting off and put this painting, I'd have been like, get the fuck out.
So Worf has come back from vacation. He went to a Bat'leth tournament, which is Klingon sword fighting. And he won. And he's like, of course he won. No question about it. And he's coming back and it's his birthday. And he clearly hates his birthday. And he's like, oh God, all my friends are going to throw me a surprise party. And then all of a sudden, like stuff in his room starts moving. And like the cake is chocolate. And then it's a yellow cake. And then the painting's over here. And now it's over there. And then he starts to notice that, like, clearly something's happening to him. And you discover that he's changing, jumping from universe to universe. Yeah. All these different timelines.
It's all the different like parallel dimensions. That's why each time it's like a different life and he's like married to a woman at one point as a kid. And then.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of that, the main thing I took away from that, I didn't really write much for this episode, honestly, except was this episode purely for the boopadoops? Boopadoop being kisses and smooches when he gets a smooch.
Boopadoops?
I also love this episode because it's a good Troy episode and they don't always give her the best dialogue. They let her do a little bit more in this episode. So her main love interest is William T. Riker.
And I looked into that. Yeah.
Who's also, we can talk about this. Riker's from Alaska. The character.
Oh, where you're from.
Where I'm
God
from.
God bless. Can we do a little side tangent about Alaska?
Yeah.
Tell us real quick about Alaska.
Like, summarize it in a haiku.
Alaska means I don't remember all the syllables in a haiku, but you know.
575.
Oh, yeah. I can't do that.
It's an impossible task on the fly.
It's too complicated. Alaska is beautiful. I love it. I love how it looks. I loved growing up there because it was really weird. And when you grow up there, you know it's weird. Like, you can feel it in the air.
This is weird.
It's weird that man lives up, like, near the Arctic Circle. That's very strange.
Do you feel like you like Star Trek because Alaska is, like, a different planet? I just made
I
that
mean, connection. Maybe. No, I think I like Star Trek because it's about people being nice to each other. That's the world I want to live in. And I found it very comforting during quarantine and the world exploding to look at a universe where, you know, people are getting along or it's about how we learn to get along and, you know, people are accepted no matter, you know, their gender identity, sexual orientation, race. And I need to watch that right now.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a lot of it during quarantine, but maybe subconsciously. I appreciate having grown up in Alaska because it's, you know, it's weird and unusual. And you certainly have a great conversation starter. Where I'm from. We can talk about that for 20 minutes. The reason why I moved is like, I didn't know what I was going to do there. And I wanted to make art and I don't know. I wanted to live in New York for at least for a little bit.
Amazing. Yeah. That was exactly like the little side tangent I needed. Like it just like tickled my shoulders.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful place. So, you know, I recommend visiting it during the summer.
I would love to. I want to go get their pizza there.
Obama liked it. He visited a few.
It has good pizza?
So, yes, there is a very famous pizza place in Anchorage, Alaska called the Moose's Tooth, which is named after a mountain next to the Denali Mountain. It's a very good pizza. Haven't really had better pizza since that. You know, there's lots of good pizza in New York. There's a great pizza in New York. It's not that pizza. It's not the Moose's Tooth pizza.
I want to try that. That's what I want to go and try. I want to go see.
Honestly, it's worth visiting for. It's very good. It was like number three on like TripAdvisor best pizza in the country at one point.
Wow.
Yeah. They make their own Moose's Tooth. They make their own beer and then they put it in the pizza dough. That's partly why it's.
Sounds amazing.
It's so delicious. But
it's just you know, my question is. What would Worf think about pizza?
Worf would say Klingons don't eat pizza.
Yeah, that's a thing, right?
He would try it and he would go, this is food of a warrior.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. People like that who say they don't like something and then they try it and all of a sudden they like it.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, right?
Familiar, Nick.
Yeah, I know.
I want to hear Worf's thoughts. That's why I picked this episode. I want, because
he's so cool. I think he's such a fun, because I do like, because I know that the whole thing about Klingons is that they're like, you know, he's super warrior badasses. It's all about like the fighter and the dominant one. They're barbarians kind of in a way. I say that as a D&D person of like, they are a class of fighters and this is how they like, yeah, know who's on top is, you're on top by the way that you're like powerful. Yeah, it's part of their culture. And I love that Worf, because they have this character who's like that. And it's always interesting to have a character like that with all these people who are like, it's all about being kind and intelligence. And he's just like, oh, I don't know if I like this. But of course, he always is like, oh, I do. And now my, it's great.
They all know how to push his buttons. And like, he's,
and they do.
Comic. Yeah, they do. They think it's
fun. They do. They fuck with this poor man.
Michael Dorn, because he can do like, there's really serious Worf episodes. He can do that. And he can do the funny ones. I think he's just incredibly talented. I love his voice. He's a beautiful voice.
Great voice. Yeah. Between him and Avery Brooks.
I think he was a voice. Oh, Avery Brooks also has a great voice.
Wow.
I think Michael Dorn, I've never watched Gargoyles, but I think he's a voice on the Gargoyles cartoon.
They got a bunch of them to do, because I remember that's the whole thing about Gargoyles is that it's just full of, because Riker is the villain. And then they just he basically was like, hey, all of you Star Trek people, get in here and do voices.
Yeah.
Which was Avery Brooks again?
Avery Brooks.
He was DS9. He was the captain on DS9.
Oh, he was my, I don't want to jump to any. He was my favorite captain.
That was my favorite.
Out of original Star Trek, Next Gen, Voyager, and DS9, DS9 was my favorite. I think that's the show I would watch, yeah.
See, I'm Patrick Stewart all the way. I'm like, give me that.
I loved Avery Brooks. I thought he was
like, all day. Not that I mean, Avery Brooks was lovely too.
We can talk about this again later too. But Avery Brooks like is very good at taking it to an 11.
Yes.
And there's a lot. And if you want to binge DS9, Nick, there is a lot of episodes where he takes it to an 11.
Well, out of the gate, hearing his voice, I'm like, if you have a voice like that, that's so rich, it does half the acting for you. Like, he could say, I just had a sandwich today. And I'm like, oh my God, he had a sandwich today. Like,
sandwich.
It's so, it evokes so much meaning out of the gate. Amazing.
Worf is, he's an incredible character. And he was so much fun to watch in this one. And it was crazy when they do get to the point of all the parallel universes and they all converge all the different USS Enterprises. And like, how they're all like, okay, we have to like get them all back together. And I love there's that one where you see the one parallel universe where like the Borg have taken over.
Oh, yeah, so that's also why I gave you, these episodes weren't like an accident. I tried to make them make sense to you. So like, I was like, if I'm going to give you parallels, you're not going to understand this Borg detail. So that's why I give you Q-Who. So you can see the little, there's that, what the Borg is capable of and the glimpse of that universe.
Yeah, that was crazy. I love Isaac. We don't want to go back. And then they start shooting at like the little spaceship and they're like, you need to stop them. Really, and they shoot it and it just blows up.
Disturbing.
Yeah, it is. It was for me. I was like, that's gotta be rough, like that whole element, because it's that idea of like, you know, there's parallel universes of us, and each one we have a different life or something different. And like, there's the one that he's in where like Picard's dead, and when Riker's talking to Picard and he's like, cool, and he goes, it's good to see you, it's been a while, and Picard's just kind of like, yikes.
That's a reference to a two-parter that I didn't give you because I was like, you can watch this later if you're curious. Best of Both Worlds, where Picard is kidnapped by the Borg and he's turned into a Borg. Locutus, which is a very famous two-parter in Star Trek. But I was like, I don't know if you'll really like appreciate this if you don't know who these characters are. So, spoiler alert, Picard is rescued and they...
No, say anymore.
They turn him back into a person. So in that they're watching the universe where they don't rescue him.
Yeah, which was crazy. Like seeing all that and like when like what's his name? LeVar Burton's character is
love him too. Reading, what's I mean, I knew him from the reading.
Shorty.
But
when they're just like, hey, can we go get like Jordy? And they're like, he's dead. And I was like, what? And it's because it's in that parallel universe is just like that happens. And I was just like, it's just crazy. Like how his visor that helps him see is setting it up and all the little switches and changes.
Iconic costume.
Yeah, big time. But yeah, I love that one. And I love Worf.
So the next one was Relativity, which is our only episode from Star Trek Voyager. Mm-hmm. Star Trek Voyager. It's season 5, episode 23. 1999. So now we're four episodes in, and I'm like getting the hang of this a little bit more. But the thing that really makes me laugh is like how many extras are in the show throughout, and how many buttons there are, and like it just feels like everyone's doing random things all the time, like just like beep boop beep boop beep, and like saying random terms and things. I'm like, who? I don't know. But then on one end, I'm like, there has to be a science specifically to the dialogue. I mean, of course, there has to be. But for my noob eyes, I just go, it looks like people are doing random things all the time and saying random things.
Well, I think
aren't people always doing random things?
I think a lot of the
actors
are.
That's so deep, Nick. So deep.
I think when the actors are at a control panel, I think they are doing a lot of random things.
Yeah.
Just like, look busy.
That was the note they got. They got sit here and look busy, and they're like, "You got it."
So Voyager, like, I'm not as familiar with Voyager as like TNG or DS9 or the original. I've seen most of them, but like, there are people that are like hardcore into Voyager. You know, they know them inside and out. It's actually the number one Star Trek show watched on Netflix.
Hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it because of like how many babes there are? There's so many babes throughout Star Trek.
Seven of Nine, I know, is like one of like geek culture's like big time like women that they follow. I know Seven, and that's when I was like, oh, Seven of Nine, I know her, because I remember growing up, like she was in all my like nerd magazines. They're like, oh, look, and everybody.
I mean, that jumpsuit is hugging all those curves. Like that was not an accident.
This is a Seven of Nine episode, and like she's a great actor. Jeri Ryan is a great actor. I wanted to give you one of her episodes because, yes, she was hired for all. Yes, they want you to notice all the things you're talking about, Julie. but she's just a fantastic actor. And this episode's fun. This is a time travel episode. A couple of things I wanted to highlight, which is, you know, I gave you a lot of episodes that I think focus on sort of like friendship. Particularly male friendship, bromance, and Janeway and Seven have like this bond. Their arc is, you know, highlighted throughout the series that I think is really nice. So I wanted to share with you a glimpse of that. But also, I love Janeway in this episode because Janeway knows how everything on the ship operates. Mm-hmm. And they highlight that when she's going to the different stations. And Kirk does not know how his ship works. Kirk, and he says this too, is like, I need my crew to run this. Janeway doesn't need any help. She's like, yeah, I know how this panel works. I think it's a fun Janeway
episode. So she's the Hermione of the relationship.
I mean, I think she's getting A's in all the science classes. And I'm not sure Kirk is doing that.
I mean, Hermione got all the good marks. I'm not going to pull into the depths of my brain. I should know what the grading words were. What was it? What's the highest one?
In HP verse?
In HP verse.
I do not remember. I don't remember.
Yeah, outstanding, outstanding. I'm pretty sure.
Wasn't that one of your lines?
Anyway,
I used to say outstanding. Wow. Okay. Anyways,
y'all, my memory is.
We all talk about the nightmares we have, where we have to do the show again, and none of us remember the lines.
It's connected to your physical movements. So, like, I cannot do the puff lines without being on stage with everybody.
Yeah.
Couple of things that stood out to me about this episode that I loved was they kept throwing around the word space sickness. They just kept saying he's got space sickness. I mean, it's like getting cabin fever. It's like you're getting seasick. I get it. But it sounded funny that they couldn't go, oh, this person's got this disease, like, and make up some disease.
I really debated on this Voyager. There's another Voyager episode this season that's kind of a rom-com episode. It was on my list for a long time, and then I was like, oh, but the Janeway Seven stuff is so good in this one. There's
what's
another,
it called though? I'll just watch it.
You should watch this one, Nick, because Nick loves rom-coms. It's called Someone to Watch Over Me, and
of course it's called that.
And yeah, it's Seven of Nine is trying to date, and she's very similar to Worf. It also highlights how funny Jeri Ryan is.
That sounds like an episode I'd love. I'll watch that one. Another thing that cracked me up too was that they were playing ping pong, because I was like, it was traditional ping pong, and I was like, we don't have like a space game, because you know when they play chess,
there are a lot of space games.
This is just ping pong.
It's straight up ping pong from the, you know, they're in the 23rd, 24th century, and they're like, we're just gonna do this one from What century are we
in? We're in the 24th century. It's in the 2300s.
No, like what are me, you, and Nick in?
Oh,
21st, right?
We're in the 21st century.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll fact check that later. Wow. But I just wanted to verify.
You know, 2020, 25. It's confusing. You know, with everything happening in the world, who knows what century we're
in? And honestly, who knows if we're in a parallel universe? And
it certainly does feel like everyone should be wearing goatees.
Oh yeah,
thank you.
I love that.
Is that like our Waluigi version of us? We just have goatees. That's how
darkest
we know
the timeline. Community darkest timeline. I got excited when I saw that on Spock. I was like, oh, darkest timeline. I get it. Yeah, let's go to the next one.
All right. Yes. Because speaking of seven, is it seven to nine? Is the character?
Yeah.
And kind of like her mannerisms and things. Okay, so we have Elementary Dear Data from Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 2, Episode 3. This is 1988. What I came to find the more we watched...
1988. This episode came out in 1988?
Yeah, dude. We
have IMDb. Let's just double check.
Wait, this was an 80s episode?
Yeah, brah. That's what the notes say. I'm looking at the chart.
I write numbers down wrong. Let's just double check here. Yeah, this came out in 1988.
Yeah.
I didn't know Next Gen started in the 80s. That's what confused me. Okay.
Oh my God, Nick loves it that much more.
I think of it as a 90s show. A late 80s.
I thought it was more
honestly,
of an 80s.
You can skip season one if you're... I've given you the best of season two. Just start with season three.
Thought it was just a full 90s show. That's why I got confused. But okay, good to know.
I wanted to give you, my first couple drafts of this list, I hadn't given you like a holodeck episode, which is definitely like a Star Trek category of episodes, especially like Holodeck Gone Wrong, which is kind of stereotypically what they are. And this is kind of just like the classic example of like a holodeck. This is like one of the most famous like holodeck episodes when.
Yeah. I've heard this referenced a bunch. This one's always referenced because Moriarty becomes sentient and all that. Yeah.
I love the opening with Data and Geordi, and it feels the way LeVar Burton delivers his lines feels like we're in a Reading Rainbow episode. I've talked about one of my dreams. Now let's live one of yours.
He does.
Yeah, it's so sweet, and it's great for the actor playing Data because it kind of gives him a chance to do something a little different. So we can get into this too in terms of I think Measure of a Man, which is we'll get into that. But basically, like between 7 to 9 and Data and Worf and some of these characters that are, they're not human.
Julie, what's her name?
7 to 9?
Seven of nine. I work 7 to 9 and that's my name.
Just bear with me, folks. We got a crash course in Star Trek. So I'm
just like you
butchering so many of these. It's 7 to 9.
7 to 9. Look,
it's seven to nine. I think the thing that the show reminded me is that when it comes to characters that are AI or alien or not human, the joy of watching that familiar trope or character is that we're constantly seeing them discover human things. Like they're like, oh, small talk. Oh, and we kind of see them deal with different nuances of life. And we're kind of like, oh yeah, we do have that in our life. And we see it anew through their eyes, you know, and then it's refracted again through Moriarty. Honestly, like there were so many twists and turns in this one. So first it's fun because it's Sherlock Holmes.
I do feel like I should mention, this is a famous episode that is, I feel like it's half well-liked by Star Trek fans and it's also like polarizing. Some Star Trek fans do not like the really silly episodes.
Oh, come on.
I love this episode. I think it's really silly,
but then it gets very serious.
Like, so serious.
I don't want to die. And they're like, okay, you're right. And it's funny because he's like, I'm not evil anymore. I just want to know what's going on and I'm sentient. And they're just like, we can't pull you out, but we'll save you. And when we can, we will do that.
There's a part two to this episode.
Because I was going to say, don't they pull him out eventually?
Yeah, there's an episode called, which you should also watch. If Rick and Morty fans should also watch this because I think you'll recognize stuff in it. It's called Ship in a Bottle. Season 6, episode 12, Ship in a Bottle, if you want the sequel.
But yeah, no, I think it's not a silly episode at all. I think the questions at the end, first of all, there's so many twists, right? Like, okay, like when the arch comes up and the hologram can interact with it, the first thing I thought was like, come on, like what kind of setup is this? You know, how could the computer make such an error? But I guess that's part of the thing, which is really smart. And then later on, when Moriarty almost just kind of like, it's not about being the evil guy. He just wants to like join them and not die. Like, I didn't see that coming at all. And to bring up, I think, therefore I am, like, these are big philosophical questions. And then again, it goes another step further in that Jean-Luc Picard is like, I will do everything in my power to try to bring you back. Like, he didn't have to do that. It was just so, that was an episode that I just like couldn't have predicted in many, many ways.
That's so fascinating. There's some people that like, I think Data is also just a very polarizing character.
I love him. I think he's my favorite character.
Some people do not like him. I like Brent Spiner. I like.
Yeah. Favorite character out of everybody.
They give him so much to do in the series. He gets to do so many different things, and he can be really cheeseball, but like he always commits. I think he does. Oh, also, if fun musical theater fact, he's in the original cast of Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh, love it.
We're our musical theater nerds, which I am.
He plays the park.
Sunday.
Yeah, he was Sunday in the park. He was 7 to 9. you know, did you guys catch this? Because I wrote it down and there was a little puff thing that I connected it to. But when Geordi and Data are like talking, sitting down, and Geordi's like, you know everything, you know too much. And the doctor, I forget her name, apologies.
That's Dr. Pulaski. That's also a hot topic. She's only in season 2 because the actress Gates McFadden was fired after season 1.
Pressure. Oh, really? But everybody loves her. Yeah.
So she was brought back for, I think it was actually Patrick Stewart that fought for her to come back for season 3.
Good, because she's a little badass.
That actress who plays Dr. Pulaski is actually in a couple of the original series episodes as different characters. And so Gene Roddenberry brought her back after Gates McFadden was fired. But I think she had some drama with the TNG cast. You can read this online. They
were thick as thieves.
It sounds like they kind of bullied her a little bit.
Oh, no.
But
she has a really cool, when she's turning to them and she overhears their conversation and she's like talking to them, she goes, the whole thing, she goes, just, you got to fail though. Failure is a part of learning. And I was like, oh, Cedric's speech to Wayne is all about how failure is just another form of practice. And like how they have this debate and how Data's like, but failing is good. And she goes, yeah, this is how you learn. That's how you develop new things. And I was like, oh, that's a little weak. Like,
for some reason, they wrote her character as like, she's very mean to Data throughout season 2.
Yeah. But it's also, you know, and again, I think this will come up in Measure of a Man as well. It's like, but it's reasonable in the same way that people are like, I don't want to deal with robots. I don't want to talk with drones. Like, I don't trust them.
I mean, they talk about in the Alien franchise too. Yeah, they talk about that of like they don't trust the androids because, you know, they turn evil and they attack you. Yeah.
Or iRobot or whatever. You know, I mean, there's so many versions.
And there's that kind of theme throughout Star Trek. Like Bones doesn't like the transporter in the original series. There's another character, Barclay, is also afraid of the transporter. There's like a fear of technology theme that kind of runs throughout.
Yeah. And it's good. It's good to have it, honestly. You know, it's good to have a little friction. Because then it showcases Data in the end. It's like you see him have this journey of just regurgitating what he knows. And then he's like actually truly challenged.
Hey, hey, Julianne here. So for our first try, it was so chock full, we had to split it up into 2 parts. So please check out You Gotta Try Star Trek Part 2, where we covered the other 5 episodes of Maddie's List. Tune in. Thanks for listening to You Gotta Try This. If you had a good time and learned something new, please rate, review, and subscribe. Until next time, stay open, stay curious, and keep trying.